This is the closing market report. It is the second day of November, a Friday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hello there, Todd.
Well, some interesting things this week. I want to come back to Sandy for just a moment because the place it really seems to be having an impact in the marketplace looks to me like it could be with gasoline supplies. And I suppose that's because there's just not that much usage happening as people can't quite get the gasoline out of the tanks on the East Coast at this point.
Yeah, and I think a big thing today in particular was that we did see the Homeland Security waive the Jones Act, and that allows foreign vessels to move product like gasoline and diesel from the Gulf of Mexico up to the northeastern ports, and that's effective immediately through November 13th. And I think that was a big, big feature to why the bean oil was hit so hard this trading session, along with the jobs report and some of the commodity funds pulling the plug on some of their longs. So I think you have something very, very important to look into this weekend if you're an analyst because of what this Jones Act is probably doing to the markets right now. And what I mean is more like the arbitrage and how to handle the ethanol and the heating oil, diesel, bean oil relationship amongst traders because of this major change because of Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah, so let me Walk me through this, because I'm guessing that bean oil took a hit because it's not going to be splashed in as biodiesel. Is that
exactly
right? Because it's out of place.
So
the arbitrage
would
have to
happen. It's in the wrong location now. Yep.
Yeah. So the arbitrage would have to be how much does it cost to ship it somewhere else to get it splashed in, and does it actually have to be put into the mix?
Exactly right. And I think the same would be said for ethanol as well, because you're going to do most of that in the interior. That goes down to the Gulf, from what I understand, and very, you know, there is some that goes to the Northeast, but that infrastructure, ethanol infrastructure to the Northeast, has been, you know, wanting to be built for 5-7 years, and it still is a little bit slow to come on. So I think it is an arbitrage displacement issue with tanker cars and whatnot that, okay, maybe we won't need this now because we're not going to be blending this. It's something to look at from a standpoint of what I do, because of the fact that the energy-related commodities like ethanol and like the heating oil were hit extra hard on a percentage basis.
All right. One other note that I made as I was reading those numbers, gold down 40 bucks for the day. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, this is where I think you probably are back on this track, and we've seen this a couple, three times in the last month or so, where when you get a good housing number like we got this week, the trade is sitting back waiting for a good unemployment number and a good jobs number. Those two features are, the Fed has made very, very clear, those two features are what's going to turn the real economy around. So we got two good reports this week out of those two features and economic fundamentals, and I think simply put, it pulled the quantitative easing bulls and some of their money off to the sidelines, especially heading into the election and heading into the Chinese transition of power. But that, I think, is why silver was leading the declines in the metals markets, gold right behind it, copper right behind that. And you also saw the best trade in the dollar since early September, and you're going to close well above 80.55, which is kind of a go-no-go gauge for buy-sell line when it comes to the flat price of the dollar index. So I think this is quantitative easing money being pulled out of the market because the idea being, at this point, if the economy is really coming around on its own, the Fed doesn't have to do any more to prime the pump.
Let's turn our attention directly to the marketplace for corn, soybeans, wheat. Informa released some numbers today, that ahead of next week's WASDE and crop production figures due out a week from today.
Yes, and pretty much in line with what FC Stone put out, a slightly bigger yield on the corn and a half a bushel or so, 0.6 of a bushel bigger yield on the beans. The trade, and you can tell this in the spreads, were very, very weak at the end of this week. Halloween day was a great day for the bull spreads. The rest of the week just didn't see a very good trade for the bull spreads, and I guess that's probably because FC Stone came out yesterday and Informa today. And so the trade is pricing in now the idea that we're going to have bigger supplies a week from today, and I think they're mainly doing that through the spread trade. And that puzzles me because the bean spread in particular, given the weekly export sales being so good again today and the weekly export inspections being so good this week and the promise of rain in Brazil, which theoretically would weaken the May and the July futures, between the strong front-end demand and the weather coming around in Brazil, it kind of puzzles me that the bear spreaders have the rule of the roost of this week. And so that's something I'm going to be watching very closely next week, that January-July bean spread. To bull spread, that may be a good spec feature. I'm going to keep an eye on that.
On the weekly charts, corn futures don't look particularly good. While they finished higher, the chart doesn't look all that great at the moment.
No, it doesn't. This is the neatest thing about the charts, and we talked about this last Friday. If you really want to get bullish about corn, you just wait to buy strength. The market is in a situation with the investment funds and all this outside market and political issues going on that I think you just don't want to buy weakness. You just want to buy strength only. What I mean by that is every single one of the corn, bean, and wheat chart on the daily continuation went up to their 40-day moving averages this week, tested it, and failed. And so I think it's a wonderful barometer. A week from today, are we back above those 40-day moving averages on the daily charts? And if we are, I think that's a buy then, technically speaking.
Most of the bin doors are closed, and many people think that the movement now will have to be, or at least the heavy lifting, will have to be done by basis or how close the nearby cash and spot bids are to the actual futures markets or over the futures markets, depending on where you are. Overs in most places.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think you have to play it that way right now until you know the numbers from next Friday, because if you lock in your basis right now and the futures continues to slide, you have no back door. And we did see a real improvement in the global wheat trade this week. We did not see the Black Sea tender on the Egyptian purchase, and that was a real big note that I made in the middle of the week. And so I think the wheat market is really going to support the corn. We talked about that on Commodity Week a week or so ago, and I think that's where you don't want to get too wild and crazy here before the report. Keep your basis open in case that futures goes down, because more than likely, I think you're right, with the market going down here before the report, with the cash flow needs not really there for producers, producers just aren't going to get in the bin and start hauling, you know, stuff out of the bins into the trucks at this point. They're just going to starve the pipeline. So use that basis as a safety relief valve in case the futures and the investment funds want to continue to liquidate.
I suppose that goes back to the note you had and that Daryl Good made on Monday of this week, and we'll hear just a bit later in the program, that while corn has been settling out and on a lower turn, the wheat that has been substituted for it and the corn coming in from Argentina won't last all that long.
No, and I think this is where you really are at a situation with Argentina now being 20% behind on their corn planting versus a year ago at 38%. I think you're really at that edge and at the ledge of seeing corn acres go to bean acres, and I think that can do nothing but help us, because like we talked about on the Commodity Week with your cash grain gurus, that's where maybe the Argentine shortfall starts to come back in, that they don't want to ship as much corn on the export market, and then that all of a sudden frees us up for Asia, and there's a lack of feed wheat to boot. And so all of a sudden, this dismal, ugly corn export market turns into a really nice situation as we get into the first quarter of 13.
What do you see of interest out of the livestock market?
I am puzzled by the livestock, because going back to Hurricane Sandy, I really feel like that the livestock supplies are big enough and that this hurricane is damaging enough that you're going to see a real backup of consumption. And in a 30-day window where seasonally this is not good for red meat, you've got hams and coming up at Christmas, and you've got the roast coming up after that. But between now and Christmas, it's pretty much all turkeys at this point. I would think that retailers would want to be making a lot of space for their poultry side. And so I think this Hurricane Sandy thing has not played out in the futures market yet in terms of pricing in enough bearishness.
Mike, thanks so much.
Have a great weekend, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzalo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana.